It is, of course, time for the Tuesday Book Club, still happening at the brand new time of 8:15. It is when we talk books, and we do it with Andrew Popel from Toys R Us' own Final Draft. Andrew, very good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
Now, we hinted that we're getting back into the new classic Aussie fiction when we talked last week, and I remember you suggesting that this was a slightly unusual book.
It's a fantastic look. I've brought in for you this fascinating. It's a debut novel that has a lot to say about Australia and Australians, not least of which this is what I teased last week because it's narrated by a galah.
I'm so into this idea.
Yeah, it's The Lucky Galah by Tracy Sorensen. So The Lucky Galah takes us back to another version of ourselves as Australians. I should probably acknowledge that in saying that, I am talking about the British colonial stereotype of Australia that struggles to recognise its long traditional history pre-invasion almost as much as it struggles to reconcile its modern multicultural history, so the 1960s. Look, throughout the 1960s, Australia played a key role in the race to the moon, with radar sites across the country rising up to assist NASA in tracking and broadcasting missions into space. To this end, Evan Johnson arrives in Port Badminton, a remote coastal town in Western Australia, to work as a tracker, who's a radar technician coordinating communication with the heavens. So as they prepare for these historic events, Evan's family and the other various residents of Port Badminton are watched over by a most unlikely observer, a young galah named Lucky. So Lucky resides in a cage at the back of the Kelly's place. She was taken as a fledgling from the nest, and she describes a harrowing debasement as her wings are clipped and she's forced to observe her kin flying free as she loses her language and learns to think and speak in English. So Lucky keenly observes the humans around her, relishing her role as an outsider that kind of it allows her to pass by unseen. You know, people constantly referring to her as cocky.
Okay.
And there's a motif that she's constantly being told to dance, cocky dance. So you see the sort of debasement that's going on here, but it also allows Lucky to gain perspective because she's ignored when she's not being forced to entertain. I can see the gears turning.
Yeah,
Nick, and I know you're reading between the lines here, and you're right. So look, she's observing humans. And look, as the radar dish that's being erected to track the moon landing, as it's erected on the hill outside of town, Lucky also discovers that she can receive transmissions from the dish, from space, as well as between the townspeople. And that's thanks to the wild galahs who tuned the transmission by jumping across the wires. So Lucky's position is debased, but she's waiting for the day when she will rise and be seen within her community. So The Lucky Galah, it riffs heavily on Donald Horne's 1964 classic, The Lucky Country.
Of course.
In it, Horne observes, Australia is a lucky country, run mainly by second-rate people who share its luck. Lucky the Galah has, of course, read this book, tearing it to shreds, as is the wont of Galahs reading, if you didn't know.
I did not know.
That's how Galahs read.
Now I know that.
Don't borrow a book from a Galah.
I will never will.
Don't let them borrow yours. Look, and Lucky observes the inhabitants of Port Badminton as archetypes of Horne's lucky country. Now, the irony of the statement, the lucky country, is frequently lost, but Sorensen reminds us of the tragedy of our luck, particularly in her male characters, who survive on their privilege and yet they're left lamenting over this sort of desire to be comfortable that's never achieved. And that's really powerful when I read about that. And think about how often maybe yourself have thought or you've heard friends reflect that, you know, I don't want much. I just like to be comfortable.
Yeah. Yep. That's a very familiar refrain.
Even Lucky, in her own way, is a victim of the power of luck to make one, I guess, lazy or reticent to spread one's wings. Even in her ascendance, Lucky still looks to the sky and she's unable to conceive of flying from the town. She's a human bird now and is too reliant on cups of tea and biscuits. That's not a metaphor, by the way.
No, I didn't think it would be.
Lucky does drink tea. So there's so much to discover in The Lucky Galah. And Sorensen, look, she's got a lot to say about our country's checkered history. A motif of the novel is bird rising, man falling. And Lucky represents so many outside the dominant class who are left unseen and unacknowledged. The lunar mission and the planetary movements are also called to serve a role as well, as Sorensen explores how we're all kind of held in this strange orbit of each other. So that makes community not just a place, not only where you belong, but also something that you can't escape from. You can't escape from this gravitational pull between people. It can be discouraging reading at times, because we're left to conclude we're stuck with the worst of the bunch. Much like Lucky in her cage, but it also invariably leads you to acknowledge that forward movement is only possible together. And also, it's narrated by a galah, just in case you ever get it gets too heavy.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mm. Yeah, look, I really enjoyed this book. It's a very strong debut.
I can't believe your description alone has made me empathise with Lucky on a level that I wasn't anticipating.
It is so powerfully written. So I think there's a lot I've left unsaid about Lucky, because Lucky is an incredibly strong character. So it's really, I don't want to reduce her to allegory, and even reducing the character of Lucky to an allegorical device isn't simple, because Lucky doesn't represent one person or group of people. But it is that power. I mean, you kind of the setup of the lunar landing and Australia's role in it, we've kind of been there. There are other stories about that, and this isn't that story. This is this really powerful piece, which also happens to have a radar that's tracking, you know, a spaceship.
But, I mean, that is remarkably adept writing to me, to give us a fleshed-out creature, a feathered-out creature, a feathered-out character that still works as allegory.
I know, and we're dipping too much into these really weird metaphors, taking flight, we've fluffed out the character. This is a wonderful book, and it has moments like that where you're laughing out loud and just thinking it's so wonderful, but then it also has moments that will bring you to tears because of, as I described, Lucky's situation and her realization of what's happening to her. I mean, more so than when she was a young cockatoo, young galah being taken from the nest and having her wings clipped, is as a more mature galah, she realizes that she's completely bound to this community and will never fly with the other galahs.
All right, so it is The Lucky Galah debut novel by Amy Sorensen?
Tracy Sorensen.
Tracy Sorensen, my apologies.
If you wanted to find out more, you can tune in to Final Draft this Saturday and catch a conversation with Tracy.
I think I definitely will be. It sounds like it's a debut novel, but definitely not the last we're going to hear.
No, and really, really powerful.
All right. Andrew, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Nick.
We'll do this again this time next week.
Thanks, mate.